You never know where God's grace might appear. Let's join together in prayer. Be near us, O God, as we ponder these ancient words handed down to us throughout the centuries. Help us to find new life in them as we ponder their meaning and implication for us right here and right now, for the ways in which we might live our lives and engage all those who move in and out of our networks. Bless, O God, the words of my mouth, the hearts, the minds, and the souls of those that hear them and help turn them into action. Amen. The parable of the workers in the vineyard still confounds most of us. It sounds oddly bizarre that somehow the folks that have only worked for an hour get paid the same thing as those who have been working for 12 hours, and somehow that just doesn't sit with our sense of justice, for our sense of how it means to be in community where everyone gets treated the same. If you're like me and that doesn't sit with you quite right, we're not alone. And here's a video to prove it.
Can I have a mango pop?
No, there's only one.
That's not fair. It's not fair, Jetty.
What?
Lily got a mango pop and I didn't get one.
Yep.
Well, that's not fair.
I don't even know what that means.
Why does she get one and not me?
Because she's a separate person from you. You're never going to get the same things as other people. It's never going to be equal. It's not going to happen ever in your life, so you might as well learn that now, okay?
Well, then I get something else, yummy.
You
then get something else.
What do you mean you get?
I get something
no,
else, yummy.
Nobody, Jane, nobody gets anything.
She got something. She got a mango pop.
Yeah, that's right now she's lucky, and you're not particularly lucky. Maybe later you'll be lucky. Maybe
but
at some
so
point.
But it's so not fair.
You only should be concerned with what somebody
it's
else gets.
It's not fair.
I'm telling you something right now. You should only ever be concerned with what's...
You're not fair.
Listen to me. The only time you look in your neighbor's bowl is to make sure that they have enough. You don't look in your neighbor's bowl to see if they have as to make sure you have as much as them. You want to just make sure that they are...
If can you're I looking, just have some calcium
yes,
chocolate?
Yes, you can have a calcium chocolate. Make sure your sister gets one too.
Thank you, Daddy.
Yeah, you're welcome.
What is fair? Right? I mean, even as little kids, we somehow developed this notion that fair meant sameness. Right? So-and-so got a mango lollipop. Well, there was only one. Too bad. You're just not as lucky right now as they are. Right? Sameness making it equate to justice, to fairness. And yet we know that that's not really true. And certainly in the parable that we just shared, it isn't the reality, at least not in God's commonwealth. That's not the way things unfold. It's not that everybody gets treated exactly the same. It's that everybody receives what they need. It's an equitable distribution of wealth. That's what's at the heart of this parable. Those that showed up first, they get what they need, which was a denarius. And those that showed up later in the day, they get what they need, which was a denarius. And we've often understood this like somehow this parable was talking about a large sum of money, and that's why the people who showed up first were upset about the people who showed up last. But a denarius was essentially a daily minimum wage. And the daily minimum wage of the day was enough to get you by that day to the next day. It was only enough just to get you for the next period of time. There was nothing there left over. It wasn't something you were going to get rich on. It was the basics of what you needed. And somehow in this parable, there's this understanding that part of the commonwealth of God's economy is that we all get what we need. Doesn't matter whether you've been here forever or you just showed up. You get what you need at God's table. Whether you're first or last or show up somewhere in between, you get what you need. The grace at God's table never runs out. There's always enough. It's like any church dinner that we've ever done. We end up calling for seconds and thirds and fourths and fifths because somehow the food just doesn't ever go away. God's grace is like that. Whether you showed up and you were there waiting for the meal to be served or you came in at the last minute, there's enough to go round. It's not an economy based on scarcity, but an economy based on abundance. And the reality of it is we all have the abundance. It's how we share it that matters. It's like the video that we showed with Shauna Nyquist, and she started off with a dinner, and there was plenty of food. And if you're anything like me, when you plan a dinner, you think about, well, who's coming? Well, so-and-so is coming. They don't eat much. Somebody else is coming. They don't eat much. Oh, but we invited them. Yeah, that's an extra 3 potatoes and an extra pound of meat. Okay, and then we had right, you planned that out. Some sense of who's coming to the table, and then all of a sudden she gets the phone call. Can we come and join you? Sure, let's just add a couple of more chairs. Let's add a couple of more glasses, another couple of place settings. There's enough to go around. That's what God's grace is like. And it doesn't matter how long you've been around, there's still enough grace for you and for me and for the world. That's the challenge that we have to wrestle with this whole parable of the last being first and the first being last. We're all treated equitably in God's kingdom, and sometimes last can be okay because there's still enough grace to go around. The cup still runs over. The banquet is still going. There's no finite limitation around God's table. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and sometimes it gets big scratches down the middle as a reminder of the things that happen around God's table. We have this table in our house that's right now used down in our family room, and it has all kinds of computer equipment on it. The table itself is about 50 years old. And it came from a manse, a house that was provided to the minister back when my dad first started ministry in rural Newfoundland. And it was at that time kind of as people were starting to get their own furnishings and all this kind of and move to manses that weren't furnished that dad started ministry. And when he left that first congregation, they said to him, well, we know that the next minister is going to have their own stuff. So if you want to take all the furniture with you, you can take all the furniture with you. And it was a fabulous dining room set, that particularly that I'm talking about. It had 8 chairs and 2 leaves in the table and a sideboard and a china cabinet. It was the whole thing. And it was, for its day, probably really, really great. The design was fabulous, and the color may have even been in vogue. It was like this really light, creamy, taupey color, right? That was really, really popular back in the day. And this table, it moved all around Newfoundland with us. And eventually, when Victoria and I got married, we inherited the table. And it moved to Ontario with us. And it's moved all back and forth across the country. It's been out here in BC. It's been back in Ontario. It's been in Alberta. Now it's here. And along the way, we modified it a little bit. We stripped it down and changed the color and brought out the natural tones in it. And it's still one of our tables. It's a reminder of all the family meals that we've ever had around it, all the family meals I grew up having around it, the literally hundreds of people that have sat at that table. And there's always been enough. That's the reminder, I think, for all of us, even in the midst of pandemic, even in the midst of high anxiety and uncertainty and worry and fear and grief over all the things we've lost, there is still enough. There's enough for each of us, enough to go around, enough joy, enough love, enough grace, enough hope. It isn't finite, it's limitless. It's one of the pieces that I think Aberjani, the poet, was trying to get at when they penned these words: dare to love yourself as if you were a rainbow with gold at both ends. Think about it. Most of us, when we think of that, you know, historic sense of the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, there's nothing at one end and a great reward at the other. But what if the reward is at both ends? And so it doesn't matter which direction you're going, you are held in grace. You are held in love. There is always enough. And the challenge for us is to see the world that way and to interact with one another that way, making sure that in our abundance we welcome others into our spheres of influence, into our networks, into our set of friends and acquaintances. Because at God's table, there is always enough. And for those who try to live that way, there is always an abundance of grace. Thanks be to God. Amen.